Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
This is the moment of practitioner thinking. And practitioner thinking is not ordinary type thinking. She had a baby, and she said it was only a little time old, and she didn't know what to do, bring it to the 7-hour seminar. And I would have said, hey, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. You see, you watched the movie called The Secret, right?
Yeah, I'm glad I watched that 7 times.
You watched the movie called The Secret? And you watched the movie called The Secret, and in the movie it said, wouldn't it be wonderful if this could be taught to the little ones? Isn't that right?
Uh-huh.
And then you had an opportunity to come and teach it to the little ones.
Oh, no.
Oh, darn! No, it's always right. And if he begins to sing, just take him in the other room until he's done singing, and then bring him back. But the thing is, everyone understands, and that's all part of this world. If we are not here for ourselves and for the children, we're not here for anything. We're not here for anything. Today we're all sitting here looking at how we used to do our healing meeting and thinking that we would have laying on of hands and we would have all the healing procession. And I'm going to give you another point of view. Is laying on of hands bad? No. Is laying on of hands good? No. Is anything that we do to another bad or good? No. Is anything that we do to ourselves bad or good? No. Is anything we do to ourselves good? That's what it should be. Totally good. So, this morning, we're going to be talking about what is a practitioner. Now, just what is a practitioner? A practitioner is a person who sees the world how they want to see it. A practitioner is a person who sees the world as they want to see the world. If a person comes to you and you call yourself a healer, and that's okay, but you're not a healer, because there's nothing to heal, except perhaps an awareness or a consciousness. But when a person comes to you with cancer or a cold or anything else like that, what they're doing is they're saying, I forgot who I am. I forgot my way. Will you direct me back to the way of truth and wholeness and purity and goodness? And you say, yes, that's what I'm all about. That's what a practitioner is all about. A practitioner is a shepherd that guides the flock back into the path of wholeness and truth and goodness. Now, are you ready to be a shepherd? Or are you still a member of the flock? Which is perfectly okay. It's okay to be whatever you want to be or whatever you are. But be careful when you say, I want to be a healer. I want to be someone who works with people on wholeness. Because when you do that, what you're doing is you're saying that they are not now whole and perfect in your consciousness, and then they never can be. Now, why is it that Jesus said what he did? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Remember? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, how could Lazarus come forth if he were dead? Jesus said, he only sleeps. He is on another level of consciousness. He only sleeps. And that's what we are when we are sick, when we are unhappy, when we are poor, when we have any limitation. We are on another level of consciousness, and on that other level of consciousness, we forget who we are. And so the practitioner says to himself first, I see you whole and perfect. Is that correct? And the answer is no. Is that correct? No. The practitioner says, I am whole and perfect. I am fantastic. I am glorious. I am wonderful. I am super. I am God. I am the creator of the world. Now you say, wow, that's pretty heavy. No. If you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, heal me. Doctor, I got this hurt. The doctor says, I am the doctor. I will take care of that. No problem at all. And so the doctor takes care of it. No problem at all. Now if you go to the doctor and he says, now, you are whole and perfect. You got no problem. There's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. Well, you say, well, doctor, I got this broken leg. Now what am I going to do about it? Well, you're whole and perfect. Well, that's not what he wants to hear. That's not what they want to know. They want to know that the doctor can do the job, that the doctor is the person who is trained as the practitioner. Now, are you the practitioner? When you go in the doctor's office and the doctor says to you, got a cut there. Okay, we'll sew that cut back together. Now, I want you to know one thing though, right off the get-go here. I am a surgeon that sews up a wound so that there is no scar. You hear that? I am a surgeon that sews up the wound so there's no scar. Now, the surgeon didn't make the cut. He could have, you know. But it might have been something that you had when you came in. Or maybe the surgeon cut and did some operation. But in any event, the surgeon says, when I am closing up a wound, there's no scar. And then there's no scar. Other surgeons say, well, you'll have a scar. That's traditional. That's the way it is. You'll have a scar. But are they able to really do their job? Are they able to really do their job as a surgeon if they're going to be afraid to say to the people, you'll have no scar? Because what will happen if they say to the people, you'll have no scar? They'll have no scar. They'll have no scar because they will not need a scar. They will not need to have a scar. They will not need to have something which is limiting to them. They don't need to have that. We have people calling us at the Worldwide Healing Ministry, and they say they'd like to talk to a practitioner, and they listen to our Worldwide Healing Ministry. We have a short 5-minute talk that is available to people if they want to hear it. And then we tell them that they can call headquarters if they want and talk to a practitioner. But when you call the practitioner, say, I recognize that I'm whole and perfect, and I'd like to have you show me how. How to demonstrate that outwardly. You know? I'm whole and perfect. How do I demonstrate that outwardly? And so the practitioner says to themselves, whenever the person gets on the phone, they don't even listen to what they're saying. The practitioner says, I am whole and perfect. Everyone who comes into my world is whole and perfect. Everyone who comes into my life is whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect. And so then, as the practitioner does this, then the practitioner turns to the person, now, let me help you. Well, I got a book. Yeah. You have a broken leg. Now, what do you want? Do you want another broken leg? Well, we can show you how to have another broken leg. No. You've heard me say this before. No. I want to be whole and perfect. All right. Then let's put the cause in motion for you to be whole and perfect. Now, how do you put the cause in motion for you to be whole and perfect? You put the cause in motion for you to be whole and perfect by saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am whole and perfect. I am fantastic. And you see, when you start saying that, when you start empowering that, then you start experiencing it. Now, that means that everybody who is coming to a practitioner is coming to a practitioner because they want wholeness. They're not coming to a practitioner because they want illness. They're coming to a practitioner because they want wholeness. And the only way that you get wholeness, the only way that you get to experience this wholeness in your body, your mind, and your spirit is to have that be your thought. Now, when you have a pet brought into the Beth Marion. And this pet is brought in, and this pet has got little problems. And the first thing you do when you take that pet is you pet the pet. You pet the pet. Now, isn't that terrible? You pet this sick little pet, and you pick him up in your arms, and you say, oh, you're so sweet, you're so wonderful, you're so perfect, you're so good, you're such a nice little dog, such a nice little cat. Yeah, yeah, you're such a nice little cat. And in a few moments, the cat calms down. The dog calms down. Because you have given them your peace. You have given them your love. You have given them your, if you will, healing. Bringing them into the awareness of their own healing self, who they really are. Now, why doesn't that cat just say, hey, I hurt, and not stop it? Because when it receives this healing love, when it receives this abundant love that says to it, hey, you're with someone who cares now. Whatever your pain is, we'll take care of that. It's okay now. You're with your doctor now. You're with your practitioner now. You're with someone who cares about you, you see? So now, nurses in hospitals used to be very caring people too. And perhaps in many hospitals they still are. But they don't have time to be as caring as they should and could be. Because if they could take the patient's hand and hold the hand and say, hey, I'm here with you. Oh, I'm a doctor. I represent you, doctor. I'm here now. All's okay now. Now, just let go. Let go of all that unhappiness. Let go of all that pain. Let go of all those feelings that say that you're not whole and perfect. Let them go. And take on now the wholeness. Doctors used to make house calls, remember? And when they made house calls, they would sometimes sit with the patient. And they'd put their hand on the patient's head. They don't do things like that, so dumb. And because they got, their pulse on, no, you don't get the pulse there, you get the pulse here. You get the temperature here, no, or there, or someplace else, you know. And what's he doing? What's the doctor doing when he puts his hand on your forehead? He is saying, I care about you. He is saying, I love you. You can't come out and say that because then the women will go crazy over him or something, you know. But the thing is, he says, I love you. And there are women doctors too. But he says, I love you. He says, I care about you. He says, this is my healing gesture. My gesture that's drawing out from in you the wholeness that is there. Drawing out from within you the purity and the goodness and the reality that you are. You see, this is what a doctor does. This is what a nurse does when the nurse comes in and cares, oh, there. Isn't it stupid? You go into a store and you want to buy something and you're a little reluctant. And the clerk comes up to you and he says, is that something that interests you? Oh, yes. And then he will touch your shoulder or touch your arm. He will touch you, maybe handing you a pen to sign a form or something. He'll touch you and you melt. You melt. You don't know you're melting, but you do. The sale is made because he touched you. And this is the way it is with a doctor or with a practitioner, where they can touch you. The touch is not taking out the illness and saying, gone, naughty illness. The touch is saying, the wholeness that is there, that love that's in you, I am giving you the warmth of my presence that encourages that to grow and expand and become something so beautiful and so wonderful, you know? This is so beautiful when you think what a practitioner really is. A practitioner is someone who themselves is whole and perfect. A practitioner is someone who themselves is pure, unconditional love. Ooh, you know? And a practitioner is someone themselves who do not see the problem, but who see the solution. Now, are you ready to be a practitioner and see the solution? Are you ready to go out and do all of the the techniques that are interesting to do. Now, in the work of a spiritualist type church, in the work of doing treatments on people that you have done for so many years and that you have done successfully and so forth, when have you done your most successful work? When have you done your most successful work? It's when you got your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. When you let the divine in you shine forth. When the divine in you heard the Creator God say to His creation, you're bad. He called everything good and very good. Would the Creator God at any time create anything and call it bad and call it not good? No. Because if the Creator God did that, then it would not be a very good Creator. You know? Now, when you say to your children, you created that for yourself.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did. You put the cause in motion that brought that for you. You put the cause in motion. Yeah, you can do anything you want, my son.
Oh, wow!
And if you're a bad boy, you get a spanking. And if you're a good boy, you get my smiles. You know? Oh, well, then I can't do anything I want. Sure you can. You make the choice. Well, then that means that I've got to do good things. Well, you make the choice. Do you want the spanking or do you want the pat on the back saying, I'm proud of you? You know? A lot of children, they want to get a pat on the back or a kick in the tail from their parents or any kind of attention, and so they do naughty things. And that's what you've been doing in various areas of your life, naughty things, when you have a cold, you know, or when you have a headache, or when you have problems of any kind. Those are when you haven't been behaving. Now, remember, this goes for all areas of life, not just healing of the body. This goes for healing of your relationships. This goes for healing of abundance. Now, if you think that your abundance comes from one source, if you think that your abundance comes from, like your job, you know, your abundance comes from your job. If you think your abundance comes from one source, then you have just cut off the entire universe of possibilities. You just cut off the entire universe of possibilities because you do not want to think that all your good comes from one source. Now, again, some of you have seen that movie, The Secret, and in there, sure, Jack Canfield made $92,000 his first year on his books, you know, for selling them. But hey, what about all these other people? What about all these other people? Do they have to make money through the sources that they use? If they can use that. But it can come to you from any direction. And if you will release whatever you have, if you will release any job you have, or any income producer that you have, any stocks and bonds that you have, then new avenues will open up for you that will show you that that was just a little pittance of who you really are. It's just a little tiny bit of who you really are. And then the abundance of the universe is yours. And Herb, what has this got to do with a practitioner? Well, when you have happy people, you have healthy people. When you have happy relationships, you have healthy relationships and healthy people having healthy relationships. Your life is the sum total of whatever your thoughts are. Now, thoughts are things. And so we want to make sure that every thought we have in our mind, in our attitude, in our world, is exactly what thought we want to have experienced in our life. Now, we have our movie producers here, our great theatrical people, our great prowess and genius and knowledge, right? Right? Okay, and what do? When you walk into your your studio and you're putting on a show, you say, oh dear, I hope I don't forget to do this, I hope I don't forget to do that, I hope I don't... You do that? No, no, no. You say, I know all the things I'm supposed to do and I do them well.
I say that before we go there.
That's exactly the time to do it. Say it before you go there. Yeah. Say it before you go there. And see, this is what we should all be doing. Say before we go into any experience, I'm more imperfect. I know exactly what to do in my movie studio, you know? And it is a movie studio you have. You're putting on motion pictures. You may do it for television, you may do it for anything else, but you're putting on motion pictures and you're creating them on your cameras. And what are you doing? It wasn't there a few minutes before, but you create it in your camera lens. You create people getting up there and talking. You create people acting or performing or singing. And it wasn't there just a few minutes before. And it wasn't yours a few minutes before. It wasn't real a few minutes before. And it all of a sudden becomes real when the show begins. Well, now, I suggest for all of us, let the show begin. Let the show begin. But what did you say? You say that before it begins.
I know what I have to do.
I know what I have to do. Before the show begins.
When you start pushing the button.
Right. When you start pushing that button, and then you push that button, and then you know. Now, okay, now, this lady now has a baby. Not more than a few weeks, days ago? Not more than a few days ago, she didn't have that baby. Now, her whole life has changed. Not to the worse, to the better. She now is being taught a lesson by that little pumpkin, and that lesson is unconditional love. And she is taught to unconditionally love him and everybody else. But first, she unconditionally loves herself. And when she unconditionally loves herself, every door opens up. Now, if she ever thought she would like to have a change in relationships, or if she ever thought she'd like to have a new house, or if she ever thought she'd like to have a special room for the kid, will it happen? It already exists in her mind. And she's a practitioner. She's already got that in her mind. And then what does she do? If she chooses to have the house in the room in the house where she is now, then she will take out her paintbrush and she'll begin painting that room. She'll begin making that room into the baby's room. And then her world will say, hey, there's something better even than that. And she says, that's fine. But you see, she starts. She starts acting as though that room is the room. And as she gets started, along comes an opportunity that I could give you any kind of a scenario, but along comes the opportunity where she is drawn into another area. And so she must move to another area. And her work takes her to another area and things. And in the other area, she has a special work-at-home activity, where she works out of her home. And she says, oh, that's cool, you know, I got to be a baby. And then she says, now, what house should I have? And so, if she is crazy, and I mean stupid, if she is stupid, she will think of the house as no better than the house that she was in. But if she is wise, she will think of the most glorious room for the baby, right? The most glorious, Shirley Temple never had it so good. She'll think of the most glorious room. She'll think of the most wonderful bedroom for herself. She'll think of the most wonderful living room and dining room and kitchen and everything perfectly done without any thought of how much money it costs or how it could ever happen. She sets the scene for the show. And then she turns on the camera and away it goes. And your show is born. But it's up to you. It's up to you to be unlimited in your thinking. Now, if you're limited in your thinking, you will have just what you had before or less, you know. Because I've got to go to this new city, I've got to do this new thing, I've got to set up this new opportunity. And so you will think in limitation, if you will. But if you don't think in limitation, if you think in the wild abundance, it'll be yours. Okay. Now, A practitioner working with a person who calls for a healing need is working with a person who has a pretty definite need. And so the practitioner says to them, "I see you whole and perfect." And the person says, "I wish I could see myself that way." No. And you say, "I see you whole and perfect." And, "I wish I could see myself that way." "I see you whole and perfect." All right, listen. Why did you call me? Why did you contact me? Why did you get bent on my ear? Well, you called me because you wanted me to work with you. I'm seeing you whole and perfect. Do you want me to see you sick as you were at some point in time? Do you want me to see you sick? Do you want me to see you with a problem? If you want me to see you with a problem, then hey, go to somebody else who likes to dig around in the mud like that. I don't. I like to see you whole and perfect. I like to see the reality of who you are. I like to see your divinity. Yes. And as I like to see your divinity, I can only see it in myself. I can only be an unconditionally loving practitioner that looks at anybody and sees them whole and perfect. You know, when I talk with people in person or on the phone about healing needs, about being a practitioner, I have such confidence in myself. I have such confidence in myself. I believe in myself. I believe in what I teach. I believe in what I tell people about. And they get that confidence too. They believe in me too. They say, "Oh, Dr. Byron, I've heard what you've done, and I've heard the people that have come to you, and I've heard what's happened, and I've heard about it. And I say, "Okay then. The only thing you haven't heard about is how I do these things. And this is how I do it. I tell you, straighten out your act. I tell you, see yourself as you want to be." Psychology tells us this. Philosophy tells us this. Thoughts are things. Okay. Do you want to think the thought that you are ill? Then you're ill. You want to think the thought that you're whole and perfect? Then you're whole and perfect. Now, do you want to use a surgeon, a doctor? Go for it. But don't say you need it. Just say, "That's what I choose to do. That's where my belief structure is." Now, why would anybody run to a veterinarian with a cat that's coughing, you know? All they do is just pat the cat on the back and the cough is over with, you know? But no, you run to the veterinarian because the veterinarian is such a nice people, you know. The veterinarian is such a nice people, and you go there and you want to be in their presence. And they say to you, there, that's this, that, and but they don't even say that to you. They say, "Yes, we can handle that very easily. Give me the cat." They go in the other room, and then the vet whispers in the cat's ear, "Okay, you got as much attention as you're going to get out of that now. So let's be well now. And let's shape up." And the cat says, "Oh, darn, I thought I could get another mile or two out of it." "No, that's it. Your mama's getting a little worried about it, and we don't want her to be unhappy. Now, shape up." And so the cat says, "Okay, well." And then you, as the vet, you, as the person working with you, say, "Now, my love, here are some tricks that you can use to get your attention from your mommy and from everybody else. Now, you go up to your mommy and you rub yourself against her legs and you meow so beautifully and so lovingly. And then when your mother is sleeping and you're allowed in the bedroom, you jump up and you snuggle your head right next to her head, right under her nose while she's sleeping, and she will just love you to pieces." And so the vet tells the cat these little secrets. Where do you think the cat learns these secrets, you know, of how to be so loving and so precious? And this is what a doctor can do and should do. This is what a doctor does. The doctors give you placebo pills, and they say to you, "Now go home and take two capsules and call me in the morning." You know, so you go home and you call the doctor in the morning. "Well, what should I call you about?" "Well, I don't know. What's your problem?" "I haven't got a problem." "That's fine. Have a lovely day." You know, and then you bill him $50 for the hospital card, or vet card, we call him to a doctor. Yeah. Now, you say, hey, that's being kind of silly. No, I'm talking about a practitioner. A practitioner is a person who knows what they're doing, who knows that they are dealing with people that are whole and perfect now. A practitioner deals with people who realize who they are and that they are fantastic. Is that correct? That's all that a practitioner does. Now, I have been in many healing churches. I have been in many healing places around the world. And these have been lovely places, beautiful places. And what has been consistent in all the places where I have been, where great healings take place on a regular basis? People go there believing they'll be healed as they go there. They don't go there believing that they're going to have trouble getting rid of their illness or getting rid of their problem. They don't go there believing that it's not going to work. They go there believing with all their mind and all their heart and all their soul that it works. And because they go there believing that it works for them. It is absolutely fantastic. I have been at the Menninger Foundation and out in Topeka, Kansas, in the White Hills there. We had about 75 people gather every year working on these type of things. And we have people showing us their technique of working with people on healings. And it has been utterly amazing to realize how every one of them has to get the patient, we call them friends, has to get the friend to realize that they're there for a healing. You are here for a healing. You're not here because you're sick. You're here for a healing. You hear me? You're here for a healing. So you come here now, and you're here for this healing, and in coming here for this healing takes place because of what? You've already agreed to it. You've already agreed. You're here for a healing. And you're not here for any other thing but a healing. And this is what it's all about. This is what you, in your work with all the people, like all animals and cats and dogs and people in your court and stuff like that, but they're all patients. They're all patients. They're all coming to you to talk to a doctor. How can I change my way of living so that I'll be whole and perfect? How can I change my attitude so that I'll be whole and perfect? How can I change my body habits, my way of eating and living and thinking and dreaming and acting to be whole and perfect? How do I do that? And you each are the one who teaches the way. You each are the one who teaches the way. Now, I will ask you another interesting question at this point. Are practitioners poor people? No. Are practitioners wealthy people? Yes. Yes. Practitioners are wealthy people. Now, does your wealth necessarily come from your clients? Or does your wealth, is your wealth always there? Your wealth is always there. Now, are you ready to call it forth in your life? And you call it forth in your life not because you need it, not because you want it, but because it's yours. It's yours. I tell a story about my wonderful, wonderful friend Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, two of the wealthiest men in the world. Bill Gates is a big, lovable, unconditionally loving kid, really. Big, unconditionally loving kid. He did what he wanted to do and made billions off of it. And he had a lot of fun. And then he said, I've got to give away some of this money. So he said to his wife, Melinda, you take care of giving away the money. And so Melinda started giving away the money. And Melinda, who had a few little emotional hang-ups and a few little bodily hang-ups, when she started giving away money, pop, that was all gone. She was unconditionally loving, giving away the money. She wasn't worried about whether they did the right thing or whatever. She liked that project, okay, committee, take care of it. She liked this project, okay, committee, take care of it. She's not worried about the details of it. She let the committee do that, you know. And so, but all of her hang-ups went. And Bill, who watched her, he says, hey, you're having a ball, you're having a good time. And he went with her on several of her problems, projects. And he says, I'm going to quit being CEO of Microsoft, and I'm going to work with you. You know, be part of the team here, putting this out. And so, he changed his program. Not totally, but he changed. Now, he's giving. Now, we talked about Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, the second wealthiest man in the world. Yes.
Can I add something to that?
Anything you want.
I just read, they said giving, he's given away, and yet he increased his net wealth last year, even though he's trying to give it away. Now, there's got to be a lesson in
that. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible?
The lesson is wonderful.
Yes, so good. You see it right in front of your face. And the guy is trying to give his money away, and the money that he has keeps growing so fantastically that he's got to run very fast to give it away, to stay up with his giving away. But, now for our Warren Buffett guy. Warren Buffett is a stingy old man. He has Bill Gates, let's say he's got $53 billion, and Warren Gates had, say, $30 billion or $38 billion or whatever, and he's giving $30 billion to Gates to give away because he doesn't know how to give away. And so Warren Buffett has all this money, and he's had all this money for years. Well, he went through the Depression years like many people did, and but he had a college education, he's got all this stuff. And he cannot spend his money. He cannot spend his money because he feels that there is only so much in the universe. He feels that he can't spend it. So what does he and his wife do? They go to the thrift shop. My God, if I were Warren Buffett with all his money, I'd have a barber shop built into my house for my wife to go and have her hair done whenever she wanted to. But if I left, and I could have a haircut whenever I needed, and I could have my own gymnasium in the house and the swimming pool, and I could, and then when it would come time to put clothing on, I'd just call my tailor and say, come on over and suit me up, And he would suit me up, whether it's play clothes or dress clothes. And my wife, my God, she would have the courtiers of all of Europe. He's trying to tell me the end of the show is here. The courtiers from all of Europe come in and dress my wife in the style that I would like to see her become accustomed to and get rid of those thrift shop type things. But you see, they have the mental attitude of poverty in wealth. And this is what they don't need. And this is why I want you to realize you don't need, as practitioners, you don't need to have a consciousness of poverty and of anything else. What time are we supposed to put?
15 after.
And it's now 15 after. So how about that? That's pretty tiny, isn't it? But you see, this is the story now. This is the story. Practitioners do not need to be poor. Ministers do not need to be poor. But Pam Wrangler, Richard Wrangler, and the rest of you are aspiring toward ministerial status and already have it and so forth like that. You are wealthy and you will have very exquisite practices of being practitioners. You will have very exquisite churches, if such is your choice, but you are the wheel, and if you choose to be a church, you'll be there. If you choose to lay in bed a Sunday morning and sleep, you'll lay in bed and sleep. The church will go on. The church does not possess you. The church is merely an outlet for your talent and your activities. You have enough people who are going to run it perfectly if you're there, if you're not there. And so Pam and Richard decide to go to the Bahamas for a couple of months. And so the church goes on perfectly well. Can I continue a second? The church goes on perfectly well, regardless of where they may be. Because they are wealthy, as Bill Gates is wealthy, he cannot begin to spend how much he's got. And he doesn't even know how much he's got. And that's how you are. And that's how I am. And isn't life wonderful? It surely is. I love you. I love you. I love you. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Not that we're bowing our heads, but let's listen within for a moment. And we say to that inner presence, I'm glad I tuned in. I'm glad I tuned in the right station. The station of abundance, the station of health, the station of goodness, the station of all it is. I'm glad I tuned in. And I will stay tuned in for all of my life because I am one as the allness and all as the oneness. And I love it, I love it, I love it. And I see each one of you right there with me enjoying being the allness, being the one, now and forevermore. I love you, I love you, I love you.